27, partial speed chase.
Yeah.
Memories are fading. So, meat cakes is always, always Shabbos Chanukah. To try to understand, you know, what, you know, where the parallel lays. But also, speaking of Shabbos Chanukah, you know, one of the interesting things about Chanukah is that everything that, you know, the Sforim point this out, everything that the Yevonim were gozer against, you have during Chanukah. They were gozer on Shabbos, there's always a Shabbos Chanukah. They're gozer on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Tevis always comes out during Chanukah. And the gozer on Mila, which, you know, that's, you know, the Chanukah itself is 8 days like the Bris Mila. Right? But I wanted to discuss the Etzem Nekuda that they were gozer on Shabbos, you know, as it was Shabbos Chanukah. I wanted to speak on this Etzem, you know, what was their hang up with Shabbos? That they were gozer on Shabbos. So again, what's Parshas Miketz have to do with Chanukah? What does, you know, why were the Yevonim gozer on Shabbos? In the Al HaNisim, you know, there's plenty of questions asked, but two questions I dealt with that evening was on, it says, sort of Giborim Biad Chaloshim, Rabim Biad Mahatim, Tmeim Biad Tahirim, Rishayim Biad Tzadikim, Vizaydim Biad Oskei Sorosecha. Right. There are two in this list that are sort of Yotze Min HaKlal. Right. Firstly, all of them are a difference in quality. Like, you know, just like Russia versus Tzadik, Tomei versus Tahor. So also Gibor versus Chalash, right, is a qualitative difference, right? But then you have Rabim Biad Ma'atim, and that's a quantitative difference. It's seemingly Yotze Min HaKlal, the many in the hands of few. About quantity as opposed to quality. The rest of, you know, the list are qualities and not quantities. Right, that's one ha'ara. And then there's one, you know, that most mefarshim are bothered by. You know, the and everything you see the opposite. You see the davar v'hifucho. You know, what is the davar v'hifucho of zaydim versus oskei sorasecha? As we're, you know, the ones that are mitkaven lemezid, you know, Zedin's God, versus the one of the Isaac and Tar. That's, you know, the Dover v'Fucho is not so clear there, like as in Tomei versus Tahor, or Russia versus Tzadik, or Gibor versus Cholosh. Right. Now, a ha'ora nifla, you know, to observe, right, by in Paro's dream, you know, right, is you know, where it's the seven bad cows versus seven good cows. Well, it's the seven bad stalks versus the seven good stalks. You find, right, you find that the good stick together. Right, it says by the, the good cows, they were grazing together. They were grazing together. Right, it doesn't say that by the seven bad cows. Right? And also by the good stalks, the sheva shiva olos bekone echad in one stalk, right? Whereas the seven bad ones are not bekone echad. Which in itself is already a remez to Chanukah. You imagine what the seven stalks out of one stem look like. It looks like a menorah. That's a davar nifla to be oimid on, that in the good, there is the achdus. right? And in the bad, you know, there isn't the achdus. Right. So the parsha opens up. Vayim mikech nasayim yamim uparo cholim. It came at the edge. Right now, this is a very strange lashon in pasuk, and the Medrash Rabbah is bothered by the obvious question. You know, it should say vayhi achar, you know, shnasayim. It was after, right? Right. That's how the Torah talks. You know, it's a normal thing. You say after 2 years, right? Right, but that's not the way what the pasuk says. Right, miketz shnasayim yomim, at the edge of 2 years, at the end point of 2 years. You know, however you want to translate, it doesn't, you know, that's the problem. It doesn't mean after 2 years. It means at the end of 2 years, at the edge of 2 years. And that's a very, you know, it's a problematic lashon, and the Torah doesn't generally talk that way. Right. Right. So the Medrash Rabbah is obviously troubled by it, and it brings in connection to this the pasuk Ketz Sam Lachoshech. Right, Hashem put it a edge or limit to the darkness. Right, and there's two pshat that the Medrash says. So one says this edge that Hashem put to the darkness. Right, is, you know, the time that Yosef could be in jail. Yosef could not be in the slammer. Don't write the word slammer, right? It could not be, you know, it was impossible in physical reality, for reasons that we have to explain, for him to be there longer than 2 years. You know, two more years after, you know, he met the Sarofim and Saramashkin. There was like a ketz. There was a ketz to the choshech. There was an edge to the darkness. And then the Medrash says another pshat, you know, in the bigger picture, right, that there's a ketz to how long there will be darkness in the world, and that's 6,000 years. Right? So the miketz nasayim, there's like an edge to the darkness. Like there's a nekuda of edge. There's a nekuda of edge to the bad things. So now... Hello. I'm working with the old label now. Hey, what, is there anything wrong? I don't have my keys with me. Leave the front door open. Okay. I'm not going to. Oh, and I'll try to be home soon. Okay. Bye. All right. Anyway, so now in this medrash is again another allusion to Hanukkah, right? And Greece. It was the famous Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Bereishis on the words Varetz Haisa Tohu Vavo V'choshech Al Pnei Tohom. Right, so Chazal Darshan, those four, you know, negative things, you know, incomplete things about the Bria initially are connected to four evil empires. Tohu is Bavel, and Vohu is Madai, and Choshech Zu Yavon. Choshech Zu Yavon. Right, with their gzeris and say Yisrael, right, and of course Tahom is your Golos Edom that we're still in Adayom Hazeh. So look at it. Ketz Sam Lachoshech. Choshech refers, you know, the vice, you know, what you know. If there's a nation that's connected Choshech, it's Yavon. So again, Ketz Sam Lachoshech. And, you know, we're just seeing dots of it. We haven't connected the dots yet, right? You know, but Shabbos Chanukah is always Parshas Miketz, and that's connected Ketz Sam Lachoshech, Choshech Zu Yovan, right? So, to start, you know, unraveling and connecting the dots, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, L'chol Tichla Ra'isi Ketz, Rechava Mitzvascha Ma'od. Right? For every Tachlis, right? Every Tachlis, every goal, called Tichla. Ra'isi Ketz, I see that there's an end to it. There's an edge to it. Rechava Mitzvascha Ma'od. Right? But your mitzvahs are very, very wide. Right, i.e., you know, rochav, it doesn't come to a ketz, doesn't come to an end. Right, so all the mefarshim explain each one in their own style, but all the mefarshim on the pasuk are in agreement to that. You know, the pasuk is like this. You know, every tachlis, any endeavor other than Torah, comes to a ketz. It has its edge. It has, you know, nothing is forever. You know, it serves its purpose and then it expires. It doesn't go past that nakuda. I mean, the Malbim adds an interesting note, you know, that not only that, you know, it's, you know, the tachlis and the ketz are one. Everything serves its purpose at the very end, finally, and then that's what expires. It means like it's like the whole tachlis is so momentary. It's just at the nakuda of ketz, right? Whereas by Torah you even get schar in the amelus and, you know, just the trying. But our main point is that every endeavor, right, any endeavor, right, has its ketz. Right, every tachlis, every purpose has its, every purpose, every type of, you know, every translate tachlis. Right, it comes to a point of end. Right, except for the Torah just goes on and on and on. So that, yeah. You know, tichla and, you know, tichla, tachlit, even the word tachlit itself also means where something is kale, when something, you know, something finishes. And that's what Paul says, every tachlis is a ketz, and that's really what the word tachlis means, end point, goal point. But the goal is the end, and it doesn't go past that. So the tachlis and the ketz are one, and it's not that way by Torah. Torah is very wide, but very wide, of course, you know, means that, you know, even though there is tachlis, but there's no, it's tachlis without ketz. That's a davar nifla mod. Tachlis without ketz. Tachlis, there's obviously purpose, but no end. Right, and there's a davar nifla lizbonin that generally, by anything, like the Malbim points out, like the Malbim that we mentioned. By everything else, the ends versus the means. The purpose is the end. You know, it's that's where it ends, buddy. You know, when it finally served its purpose or finishing, or if it serves a purpose, it finishes. It does. You know, ends as opposed to means, but end. End is an end. It's over, baby. Right? Right? And by Torah, it just never ends. It brings purpose, but without ending. You know, that's the amazing thing that David HaMelech is oimed on. Right? So now, aside from, you know, obviously that, you know, there's, you know, evil has its edge that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't, you know, Chas V'Shalom doesn't want to create, right, an infinite evil. And that's, you know, Ketz Sam L'Choshech in the vein that the Medrash Rabbah that we quoted Darshan said, there's an edge to the evil. The evil won't last, you know, forever. Right? The evil won't last forever. Right? You know. Right. Right. But there's also to expand the concept. Right. To expand the concept of the concept of Ketz. that really the concept of Kates applies to anything other than Inyonei Torah and Avodas Hashem in a manner that we will shortly explain, right? And that's really, you know, and that's really our response to Yovan, right? Right? Yovan said, right, that the optimal life is, you know, the life of Hellenistic culture. Right? That's optimal. Right? And without it, life is meaningless. You know, there's the cultured life versus the life of the barbarian. And we say, right, all these things that you claim there's some type of utility that comes from it, purpose, meaning, utility, whatever you want to call it, this is all nichon lechol tichla roisi kates. Right, any tachlis has its edge. All right, that's kates sam lachoshech. The choshech represents Yavan. You know, everything that they were about, you know, they tried to, you know, promote and say, this is the good life. This is, you know, this is the derech ha-mitukan, right? This is the optimal. It has its edge, right? If it has its utility, if it has its benefits, it comes to a nekuda of end. It has that point, that past that point, it's meaningless or unwanted or out of fashion or call whatever you want. Now, to be oimed on the oimek of this inyan, possible evening. Hello? That's the policy with all the couples. You just tell her that's the policy with all the couples. You just tell her we're not discriminating against her. That's the policy with all the couples. I find you say, no, that is our policy. We do not give out the code. You have keys, you don't get the code. Okay. Bahatzlacha. Now the nekuda of kates is no chiddush, right? Because everything physical, right, has its boundaries, right? That's certainly true, right? By anything, you know, that takes up mass, right? It has its, you know, parameters, and that's its nekuda of kets, right? It's natural boundaries. It's its measurements, you know, the outer perimeters of its measurements is its ketz, right? Right? But even things that aren't physical, even things that aren't physical, right, have their ketz in the sense that they have their definition, and they don't, the thing does not exist beyond the parameters of its definition. Like, so wisdom has its ketz. Wisdom does not exist within stupidity. Right? So, you know, so everything has its parameters, whether it's its physical parameters or whether it's its conceptual parameters, you know, its definition. That's its ketz. Right, the nekuda of ketz doesn't beg explanation. Right, let's push it. So, like, everything has its ketz, even things that are not strictly physical. Its definition is its ketz. It doesn't exist past the parameters of its definition. Right, so ketz doesn't beg an explanation. Adarabba, the how it could be rechava mitzvascha ma'od, how it could be something without ketz. That's what needs hesper. Right. Now, really, this and with this we get back to, you know, the parallel paradox. Not parallel, right? I guess parallel paradox. You use whatever words you deem fit, right? Having said that, everything has its ketz. Everything has, you know, its edge. It doesn't exist past its edge. So comes the question like this: where does achdus come from? If there is achdus, such a thing as achdus. Right? If there's such a thing as achdus, right, where does it come from? What is the ma'ached? All right, everything stands within its parameters. So where does the unity come from? What makes the unity? Right. So, Chazal revealed this secret. And I'll say, Kol Knesia, she l'shem shamayim sofel iskayim. V'chol Knesia, she'ena l'shem shamayim ain't sofel iskayim. Right, the nekudya, what enables achdus, right, what enables achdus is shem shemayim. So a knesia, an ingathering, if it's l'shem shemayim, so fully sky, right? But it's not l'shem shemayim, so the ingathering won't succeed, it'll scatter. And the Maral in his pirushan of this, you know, cites the classical example and takes that as a, you know, takes that mission as a springboard to darshan on Migdal Bavel, right? It was a knesia she'ena l'shem shemayim, and it wasn't mitkayem. But it's an amazing thing over there. How does that parsha open up, right? You know, nase lanu shem, let's make for us a name. Let's make for us a name. So now the Ramban over there explains, right, that they wanted to like use the power of Hashem's name, but without Hashem. Now to explain the amkus of the Ramban over there, right? The pshat is like this: the pasuk says, everything that's called by my name, for my glory I created, fashioned it, and made it. Right? That the whole Bria exists, lichvodo yitzbarach, the Bria yitzir nasir zichvodo, but it all starts called nikra bishmi, which kayadu is besoid the olam ha'atzilus, which is the olam of the shame. That because the shame shemayim is the makor for the Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, which exist lichvoidai, you know, for Hashem's glory, right? So, you know, as it were, the common denominator, you know, or the common root, you know, that there is in Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, you know, be it in each one of them themselves, all their components of within them then and themselves or between each other, is Shem Shamayim. Right? Shem Shamayim. Everything connects to Shem Shamayim. Everything connects to Shem Shamayim. So it's through Shem Shamayim that things can have Achdus. Right? Migdal Bavah tried to take the Shem without the Shamayim. And that's what you do in any type of cause or organization. They have the goal, the slogan, the mission statement. That's the Shem. That's the Shem, which is the goal, you know, for which, you know, under that slogan, under that goal, under that, whatever you want to call it, the whole thing, you know, unites. But if it's not Shem Shamayim, it's going to wear out. So you take communism, for example. Communism was the grand cause that held the whole Eastern Bloc together. Lasted 70 years. Then just no one was interested anymore. Comes a point where just no one cares anymore. No one wants it anymore. It's outdated. That's any shame that's not Shem Shamayim. That's Kesia Shein El Shem Shamayim. So even though it'll be an alternate shame. And that alternate shame is really tachlis, right? This is our goal, tachlis. But l'chol tichla reisi kates, any other tachlis, other than Shem Shamayim, has its end. It's going to come a point where it's going to be old-fashioned, outdated. The needs, the demands, the wants, the preferences will change. No one wants to go with it anymore. It's you know, served its purpose already. So the tachlis, which is l'shem what? We are uniting. Any tachlis other than Torah has a kates. And that's, you know, so the tachlis that has a kates is l'shem whatever. And then there's Shem Shamayim that has no kates, just like God himself, the Baal Hashem, has no kates. So that's the achdus that could endure forever. Right? And that is the nekuda. That is the nekuda, right? That takes things from finity to infinity. Shem Shamayim, right? That's the nekuda that makes achdus, that things get past their gvul and unite. And mimeo, that's also the thing that takes us to infinity. Right. So now here's we often quote. Right, we often quote the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos at the end of Maseches Makos that says one mitzvah done lishma could bring a person to Olam Haba. Just one mitzvah done lishma. Right, it's just not so easy to do that one grand thing lishma. Right, some Tanoim wondered if they ever made it. Right, as you know, the Rambam brings. Right, but that's the point. One mitzvah done lishma. Right? What makes mitzvahs worth eternal reward, that the power of the mitzvah is never ending, and for because of that one mitzvah, you know, you get netzach, is because it was done lishma, it was done l'shem shamayim. It was done lishma. The pasuk says, "Orech yamin bimina ubesmaila oishav akavod." Right, Kivyachal Torah is the right side or the left side, right? And on the right side is Orech Yamin, long days, which we know means Olam Abba, right? Varachta Yamin. Umisma on the left side is Osher V'Chabad. Now, of course, you know the difference between Orech Yamin and Osher V'Chabad. Orech Yamin is forever. Osher V'Chabad is temporary, it's passing, it's fleeting. You know, it's not infinite. There's no such thing as infinite wealth. There's no such thing as infinite covet. It all comes to, you know, right? So Torah is wealth and honor, which are things that have a kates, right? Whereas Orech, as opposed to Orech Yomim, which is, you know, long days, mean never ends. So what a Chazal darshan? Orech Yomim b'mina l'maiminimba. Those who do it l'shma, l'maiminimba, those who do it the right way, on the right side, mean they do it l'shma. So l'shma, we do it l'shei shemayim, it's Orech Yomim, it's infinity. There is no kates. But if you do it shalom lishma, right? So then you Akash will give you schar and everything that you do. So you get Oshav Chavad.
Is there something intrinsic in Yamin Usmol that relate to lishma, lo lishma? We know midas and yamin and small, but I'm saying, is there something more specific that?
In the sense,
meaning. What is it about?
Ava. Lishma is Ahava.
And that's the that has to do with Yamin.
Yamin, Chesed. Ahava. Oh. And that's the Rambam's definition of Lishma, and in the end of Hilchos Tshuva is to do it me Ahava. Right, so that's Yamin, love. As opposed to out of fear, if you do it for Schar, using the Rambam's definition of Hilchos Tshuva, to do it for Schar is also called out of fear. I fear I'm missing out. Right? That's what Rambam says in the parakeet of Hilchos Tshuva. Lishma is Ahava, and for Schar, because I want Olam Abba or whatever, that's called Shaloshma, it's called Meira. So in that way, the feed that Rambam it fits. But you know, but that's how Chazal Dasha, L'mayminim Ba, they do it Lishma, it's Orech Yamin. Right? So, I just remember there's a kasha we left out, but I will get to it because, it's a kasha from the beginning we left out, right? So, now regarding, you know, even the most refined aspect of Hellenistic culture, you know, as an aside, I don't know if you have to put this in, but, you know, Alexander was criticized, you know, by the Athenians, you know, and, you know, the Hellenistic culture created had barbaric elements to it. Because he took, you know, Hellenistic culture is a chulent, a little bit of philosophy and a little bit of the stuff from the other nations. He wants to make a global culture, right? But the even most refined aspect of Greek culture, which is the philosophy and the ethics that the philosophers pondered, right? Now, you know, the struggle of Chashon was against Hellenism, Bichlaluto. But even the most refined aspect of Hellenism, which is the pure Greek philosophy that preceded Alexander, right? Right? So over there, the Rambam has a very interesting perek. In the fifth perek out of the Shmona Prakim, right? Right. So when Rambam, you know, talks about, you know, now that in my earlier prakim, I proved to you that Derech Chaim Tzais is the proper way to go. Now the question is, who cares? Why is it important? Right? And you know, what's the point? You know, the Derech Chaim Tzais is boring. You know, it's not too much. You know, it's not fun. It's boring. You tell me it's a well-balanced life. Why is it important to be balanced? I don't enjoy it. Right? That's the question the Rambam ponders. Right? And the Rambam goes on to say you should know that the Greeks wrote books and books about this, and even after everything that they wrote, they couldn't get to the nekuda of why ethics are important. ethics are talking about, you know, tikkun amidas. Like, what's wrong? I'll be a behem. I just won't hurt anybody else. What's wrong with that? Right? I will not steal. I will not kill. But I want to eat like a pig, and I want to just do whatever my yetzer tells me, as long as I don't hurt anyone else. What is wrong with that? That's the question, right? That is the kasha. I'll be a law-abiding citizen, but I'll be a behemoth. What is the problem with that? Right? So he says the Greeks wrote, he didn't say the word Greek. He said the philosophers wrote long treatises on this kasha, and they still didn't get to the point. And Chazal said it in one small sentence, and Teda, that you see it, Chazal Ruach HaKodesh, that's all the Lashon Rambam. And what's that Lashon Chazal? Shekol Maasecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim. Right? The purpose of leading, as it were, a balanced life is because that way you could be meshabed yourself totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do things L'Shem Shamayim. Right? If you're in the control of your Yetzer, right, then you can't be meshubet to Hashem Shemayim, because your Yetzer controls you. But the Rambam says, Rambam writes earlier in that same paragraph, but who are the Namah? Let's say a person lives a balanced life because he's a health freak. So the Rambam says he's not any better than the guy who's a Baal Taiva, because this guy is doing it for his pleasure, and this guy is doing it for his pleasure. LMI, the balanced life is important. Shekol Maasecha Yiyu L'Shem Shemayim. That's what it's important for. And as the Rambam says, the philosophers couldn't get to this in the court. They spoke around this point. They got to it, but they didn't get the nekuda of Maasecha L'Shem Shemayim. And this is the nekuda that differentiates, between Yisrael and Yavan. Yisrael and Yavan befrat, and even in things that seemingly are parallel between us, right? Like ethics, right? The Rambam used Aristotle's ethics. So did, by the way, the big Baalei HaMussar, used to quote from it, as well as the other Mussar Sfarim of the Goyim. Ethics is ethics. It's part of Chachma Goyim Tamin, right? But the nekuda of separation is L'Shem Shemayim or not L'Shem Shemayim. And this inyan of L'Shem Shemayim is not, it's not just, listen to this, it's not just for the purpose of making it to Olam Haba. That's part of it. But it's even the shlemus of Olam Hazeh. It's even the shlemus of Olam Hazeh. It's the shlemus of how you're supposed to live in Olam Hazeh. Kol Maasecha Yiyu L'Shem Shemayim is not just so you can make it to Olam Haba. That is the proper way to live in Olam Hazeh. The Kol Maasecha Yiyu L'Shem Shemayim. Right? Or if we believe a utopic Olam Hazeh is a world of world peace and achdus, you only have that, like we said, if it's a Knesia L'Shem Shemayim. When we talk about the utopia that will be Ba'achris Hayomim, right? So what does it say? Ozefach kola amim kulam safbura likro kulam b'shem Hashem. All the nations will proclaim b'shem Hashem. Right? So being l'shem Shamayim is also to push Olam Hazeh to its point of being optimal. It's not just for the sake of getting Olam Haba. And this doing L'Shem Shemayim is the optimal for Olam Hazeh, right? This was the Iker strife between us, Iker Machos, between us and Yavan. Right, so now with this, we can answer the kasha that we neglected to ask. We asked it in the shir, so you'll have to insert it at the beginning. Right, the biggest kasha is like this. Right, The ones who led the revolt against the Yevonim were the Chashmonaim, the Kohanim. And Kahuna, right? Kahuna is like the main theme. You know, like also the jug of oil was sealed b'choisem kohen gadol, right? Right, I am the Divrei Maharal on the Sefer Ner Mitzvah. That Yavan Hechol 65. Yavan is Gematria 66. That's how they can be Metamed Hechol. But Kohen is 75 because of the hidden Kedusha of the Hechol, and that's how they could push them out of the Hechol. But it has to do with like Kohen, Kedushas Kahuna. Kedushas Kahuna. But you know that that's true because everyone knows the famous, you know, Ramban's spin on the Medrash, that Aaron was upset that he wasn't part of the Chanukah Sabayas. Hashem says, you know, don't worry, you have the menorah, says the Ramban, that's Chanukah. That was like for the Kohanim, you know, Shevet Levi, Bechlal, and Kohanim Befrat, that didn't participate in Chanukah Sabayas, it's Kahuna. So now listen, you know, the story of Chanukah happens somewhere in the period between Yosef ben Yosef and Yosef ben Yochanan and Nitai and Arbeli and Yeshua ben Parchia, you know, in the time period between these two Zugais, you know, probably overlapped, you know. That's the time period when the Nes happened. And you don't find that the Tanoim, you know, led the revolt. Matisyo ben Yochanan and the Kohanim led the revolt. Undoubtedly, the Sanhedrin, you know, the Chachamim were behind them. Right? But Halo Dovarhu, that the ones who spearheaded the revolt were the Kohanim and not, let's say, the Sanhedrin. You know, the Abad, undoubtedly Sanhedrin, I'm sure, followed. They went with Matisyo Uvana. Right, so it was Kohanim versus Yavan, right? And that's a very important nakuda to be oimed on. So now we said in earlier Shurim, the Yin of Kid, you know, he's talked about how Esav was meant to be the Kohen. Kedushas Kahuna is for Olam Hazeh. It's Torah is in Olam Haba also. So like a Talmud Chacham was Kulo Torah is like he's in Olam Haba in his own lifetime, right? Kedushas Kahuna is the Kedusha revealed within the parameters of Olam Hazeh. It's Gilui Shem Shamayim within Olam Hazeh, which was our Iker competition with Yavan. You know, our machlokus with them was not over what does a man have to do to make it to Olam Haba. That wasn't on their Seder Hayom, you know, the Yavan. Like, you know, they weren't thinking Olam Haba, they're thinking about what's the good life here. You know, what is called the good life? Right. They weren't oppressing us because they felt that, you know, we will not go to heaven unless we do what they want. You know, that wasn't the issue. Right. Question is, what is called the proper life in Olam Hazeh? Living l'shem shamayim. So l'gabe the Kohanim, it says, v'samu eshmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. The Kohen puts Hashem's name upon us, and through that, there is the bracha. Right? And that's also the lost same in that medrash, the famous medrash that we quoted. The Ramban says, the remes to Chanukah. In that medrash, it says, that, but you know, the Karbonis, you should know, Aaron, the Karbonis, right? When there's a base of Mikdash, fine. When not. But the menorah shines forever, and the brachas that you give my children are also forever. You see, the brachas that go together with the menorah. Right? And the brach says, V'samu eshmi al b'nei Yisrael, gilui shem shemaim am b'nei Yisrael, in olam hazeh. Right, that's what the Kohanim do. V'samu shmi al b'nei Yisrael. Right, and that goes together with the menorah, the kayadua from the Rishonim. You know, it probably has a source in Chazal somewhere. I believe it has a source in Chazal. All the Rishonim say that the menorah in the kayadua, the zer on the mizbech keneged keser kahuna, right, and the zer on the arm is keneged keser tira, right, and the zer on the shochas keneged, you know, malchus. And the menorah is keneged keser shem tov. Keser shem tov.
I'm sorry, on the Mizbeach, the Zeres Keneged?
Keneged Keser Kahuna. And on the Shulchan, Keneged Keser Malchus. And
right.
The Zera on the Oran is Keneged Keser Torah. And the Menorah is Keneged Keser Shem Tov. The Shem, of course, the Shem Tov is obviously the Shem Shemayim. That a person is Zeichet to, that he does things Hashem Shemayim. He's Zeichet to the Keser Shem Tov. Right, and that's the Ora Menorah, and that's it. The Menorah is forever, and your bracha said so. V'samu Shmiel b'nei Yisrael.
What's the kesher between Hadlakas Menorah and L'shem Shemayim, as opposed to the other inyanim that we were mentioning?
You know, well, what is more the Be'etzem kesher between Menorah and Shem Shemayim? You want to know what the Maral says in his Pirush on Avos, light spreads and shines. So Keser Shem Tov is Misofa and Vad Sofo, the Medrash. Light spreads, Shem Tov spreads. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the deal?
I'm just trying to focus in on what the Rav is trying to get at by mentioning about.
I'm not trying to buy that, yo. Then that same Medrash that refers, that alludes to Hanukkah, the menorah is forever.
Right.
And
the brachas.
And that same Medrash says, so are the brachas that you give, right. And the brachas are v'samu eshmi al b'nei Yisrael.
Right.
You know, we can mention here, or we can mention earlier, that the Maral in Sefer Or Chodesh, you know, on the pas, contrast Klai Yisrael and Amalek. You know, which is a more theme of Purim, says Reishis Goyim Amalek Vachriso Ade Ovid. He's the first amongst nations, but he ends in obliteration. Right? He has a case. Whereas Klai Yisrael's Yisrael, we end by Shem Shemayim, and that's the secret of the eternality of the Jewish people, says the Maral. We have as a physical people, we have our case. But you know what our end point is? We end by Hashem. Because we end with Shem Hashem. And since we reach Shem Hashem, you reach Shem Hashem, and when you reach Shem Hashem, you reach eternality. And that's what we said, that's what we've been saying so far. Lishma. Lishma is the Nekud of Achtus.
Where is this Maral?
This Maral is in the Or Chodesh. This Maral, the last thing that, we end by Shem Shemayim. You know, we reach Shem Shemayim, so, but we reach the Nekud of Nitzchias. You know, we end by God. And that's Kol Ma'asecha, you L'Shem Shemayim. And when you do a mitzvah, L'Shma, you get Schar Nitzchi. The physical side has an end, but it ends by Shem Shemayim. So it reaches that Nakuda that's already beyond, that gets beyond all Gvul. So I think we already answered why the Achdus is only amongst the good things. And this Achdus, it's not the thing plus one, as in the Achdus one, but the Achdus is the Bechina of Shem Shemayim, which of course, Ein HaKadosh Hu Miyached Shmo Al Aro, Chazal. Hashem does it, Chazal say, Ein HaKadosh Hu Miyached Shmo Al Aro. Hashem does not unify his name with evil. Shem Shemayim is only in good things. So that's why you have the Achdus by the good things and not by the bad things. So the Achdus is between the good cows. The Achdus is by the good stalks. Ein HaKadosh Hu Miyached Shmo Al Aro. It's the Nekuda of Shem Shemayim. That's the Nekuda of unity and infinity. It's that Nekuda of Shem Shemayim that makes it Rechava Mitzvascha Ma'od. And we're saying to Yevorim, all your stuff has a ketz. Like, who cares about Yavan today? It had a ketz. You know, anything other than Torah is important because it has some type of utility, right? And that utility will expire. There's a limit to how much people will be willing to pay for it. There's a limit to how much time people will find it in. It has a ketz. And that's what we were saying about Yavan. That's what Yavan hated. All your culture, it has a case, it's all good for now. It's going to come to the point where it'll have exhausted itself. And our way of life, even in Olam Hazeh, is L'Shem Shemayim, and that's why it's forever, and that's why it's forever meaningful, that's why it'll last forever. It doesn't have a relative meaning, it has an absolute meaning that just goes on and on and on. And never expires. And that's why Mimelo, it also takes you to Olam Haba. But even Olam Hazeh, it is the real ultimate meaning. Right. So it really comes out that, you know, the machlokas was on this inyan of l'shem shemayim. Right? And that's the Kohanim. That's the Samu Shmiel B'nei Yisrael. That's why they led the revolt. You know, Shem Shemayim in Olam Hazeh. But now you understand the Greeks' obsession with being Metame, the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is referred to Kol Mokom Asher Azkir Eshmi Avoy Lecha Uverachticha. Right? Because, that's what it says immediately after. It says, every place where you mention my name, I come to you and bless you. That's the Mokom HaMikdash, where Shem Shemayim is said, because the Kohanim in Birkas Kohanim say the Shem HaMefurish. The Kohen Gadol says the Shem HaMefurish on Yom Kippur. Right? That's where Shem Shemayim is revealed. That's the Mokom HaMikdash. Mokom L'Shakein Shmo Shom is the Lashon of the Pasuk. Hashem's name dwells there. L'Shakein Shmo Shom. Right? It's the Mokum of Shem Shemayim. So that's why they want to be Metame the Beis HaMikdash. Right? And now we can understand why they legislated against Shabbos. Right? They legislated against Shabbos. Right? Because Shabbos, the whole inyan of Shem Shemayim, which is why Shabbos does what it does. Instead of being the end of the world, it recharges the world. And that's what we say in Mariv of Leil Shabbos, right? Ata kidashta es yom hashvi l'shmecha. You sanctified the seventh day to your name. Tachlis ma'aseh shmarav. It's the tachlis of heaven and earth. It's like the end point. Everything finished on the seventh day. It's the Nakuda of goal. You know, the center is where everything ends, you know, physically speaking. Right? All sides end at the center. And that's, you know, Kayadua, the famous Maharal, Shabbos is the center, because that's the seventh. Three dimensions have six edges. Right? Each dimension has two edges. So three dimensions have six edges. Right? So the seventh is the center. Everything ends at the center. Shabbos really should be the end of the world. Just like the world was finished on that day, it should be the end, right? But since it's, you know, it, although, you know, beside Tachlis, just like it's called Tachlis Maaseh Shemar, it's the whole Tichlo Reisi Kates. But since Ata Kidashta Siyom HaShvi L'Shmecha, but since it's married to Hashem's name, right? So even though it's Tachlis Maaseh Shemar, it's Uveirachto Mikol HaYomim V'Kidashto Mikol HaZmanim. That's why Shabbos adds Kedusha and Bracha to the Olamas, and the whole world recharges. The center is where all the sides end. It's mounted in the Kud of Kates, right? But since the center is Shem Shemayim, so Emel, it's the point where all dimensions not end, but rather where all dimensions meet. And there could be Tosefet Bracha V'Kedusha from the Olam HaElyon to the Olam HaTachton, because all the Olamas are united on Shabbos, because Shabbos is Shem Shemayim. So since it's Ata Kiddush Yom HaShvi'i L'Shmecha, therefore it's Beirachta Mekayom V'Kiddush Mekol HaZmanim. So it's true, everything ends there, but since it's Shem Shemayim, if it would just be the center without Shem Shemayim, it would be where everything ends. Be the tachlis where everything is kaleh, right? But since it's atos rosh, so the mele uveirachta mikol kedusha mikol zmanim, it's where there could be tosefes bracha v'kedusha, because Shem Shemayim goes over the bounds and all the olamis unite. And that's what it says in the kegavna, yudavin nusach svar. The kegavna go misachtin echad eloyim v'tatoyin, everything comes beraza the echad beraza dashem echad ushmo echad. That's Shabbos. Shabbos is Shem Shemayim, so they're against Shem Shemayim, so they legislated against the Shabbos. So now with this, we get back to the Al HaNisim. Now, Rabin Biab Ma'atin, right? It's not the pshat, you know, it's a big number hands of the small number. That's not true. That's not what it means. Right, but rather it's going on the beside the pasuk, Lo mi rubchem bachar Hashem bachem ki atem amat mikol amim. That say Chazal that pasuk, because atem ma'atim, you humble yourselves, you make yourselves small before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How we mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we do everything lishmo, right? It's not for us, it's for Him. That's called ma'at. But to go on a deeper level, right? What we alluded to before, a few minutes ago, Achdus, which Shem Shankar, Achdus is already not a quantity. It's not the pshat. When something is united, it's the sum of the parts plus Achdus. Achdus is like one more unit. Achdus is like the neshama that permeates it all. And of course, the neshama that permeates it all is a sum that's great, is a whole that's greater than the sum of the parts. You're no longer talking quantity. You're talking about quality. Now, quantity is when everything is in its gvul, and I have a lot of gvuli things together. That's quantity. But in quantity, you're in gvul. You're in kates. Osher v'chavod is kates. So even though a lot of osher, a lot of kavod, it's still within kates. To get past kates, you just have to be outside of the whole framework of quantity. And that's what happens when you have Achdus. Achdus is not the sum of the parts. Achdus is just a whole other reality that is beyond the sum of the parts. It transcends the gvulot that there are, you know, in the parts. And that's Rabin Biyad Ma'atim. They're in the world of Rabin. You know, in secular culture, what defines success? It makes a lot of money. Or you have a lot of followers, it's very popular, or you have a lot of money. What's Oysher V'chavad? Oysher V'chavad, that's Bismola Oysher V'chavad. That's what determines success. But that type of success has a case. You know, even when you're successful, let alone it's going to go out of style, but even when you're successful, you're not successful bleakful. There's a limit to how much people will pay for your product. There is a limit to how far people will follow you and honor you. Even when you're successful, it has its cates, right? You're in the world of quantity, of quid pro quo, exchange. My product for your money, or my stuff for your, you know, for your popularity, right? So it's aside the fact that it's going to wear out inevitably, but even b'shas ma'aseh, there's a limit to how far you can go. Even when Obama had 100, you know, like when he first was elected, they thought he was a Mashiach, right? You know, but even so, there was like a limit to what he could ask from the American people even then. Right? Am Yisrael's bichlal mufka from the whole concept of kamut, because we're dovik in Shem Hashem. We remind ourselves to be outside of quantity altogether, right? So we remind ourselves, we humble ourselves before our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why Shem Shemayim is chal on us. Shem Shemayim is chal on the humble. Right? And that's v'zeidim biyados kesorasech. What's shat mezid? What's this between, you know, mezid is kavana. Mezid as opposed to shogeg, right? Intention. Right? Mezid refers to intent, right? They intend everything, right, for themselves, not lishma. So zedim miloshen intention, you know, as opposed to shogeg is without intention, right? Zedim means intentional, mechaven. It's done by kavana, but of course the kavana is for themselves, right? Biyad oske sarasecha. What's that oske sarasecha? So says the Maral, well, that which we make a bracha, lasuk b'divrei Torah, one of the pirushim of the Maral is that the bracha is even going on anything that has to do with Torah. It's not just mamish, the learning, and coming up with the final psak halacha. Anything that relates to Torah is called esek haTorah. Now, kayadua, the Torah is also shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And esek haTorah refers to everything, you know, that we do for the sake of learning, that's called esek haTorah. right? It's not just coming up with your final chiddush or your final psak halacha. Everything that the whole process, anything that's connected to Torah is called esek haTorah. The whole process. So zayin, you know, a zayin biyad oskei sarsecha means they are mechaven for themselves. They're kavanas for themselves, and our kavanas l'shem haTorah. And kaidu the Torah is shmosh haKodesh Baruch Hu, and that's what that bracha lasuk b'dev Torah ends off. Okay, v'niach the kulanu yoide shmecha v'lom de Torah sechel lishma. Right, that's the end of that bracha. Before we sign off, we should know that Hashem's name is everything, and our limud of Torah should be lishma. And that's what are the words after that? Ulecha asisa shem gadol v'kadosh b'olamecha. That's the end of Hanukkah. And that's how it signs up. Zayin b'askasecha ulecha asisa shem gadol v'kadosh b'olamecha. It was nizgala shem shemayim in the world. Because that's what the Yevonim, you know, were against. They were against shem shemayim. And mimele, because they were against the shem shemayim, well, it led to all the other krumkeiten in their philosophy. But that was the Iker strife. And that's why the leaders of the revolt were the Kohanim. On them it says, V'samu eshmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. That's what we said.
Okay, very good. Shkayach.
All right, we'll see about Vayigash.